And welcome, friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you. Adam McManus from theworldview.com with me as well on this edition of the program. And today we're coming into the business world. We want to apply a biblical worldview and bring down every imagination and high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God in Christ. And that includes the area of economics and business. I'm applying some of this stuff in my new book, How the World Runs, and Your Part in It for 14-year-olds. And the rest of us as well. So we're going to be addressing some of the pragmatism, the ethical corner cutting in the business world, as well as deception that's really on the rise in our macro economy today. And I think it's incumbent upon all of us to get everything up into the light. Christians want to shine the light on things. We are those who walk in the light, and we want to be sure that we draw these things that are done in darkness out into the light. And I was a little surprised, Adam, at finding this CBS News story. Now, we want to talk about inflation is out of control, but we also want to talk about what the business world is doing in the case of Pepsi's weird world, boycotting over embryonic cells linked to the low-cal soda. So this from CBS News. I guess I was surprised that CBS News picked this up.
I was too. A group called Children of God for Life and apparently some other pro-life groups are boycotting Pepsi because Pepsi is using, with the help of Cenomex, a biotech company, actual embryonic kidney cells that were originally taken from an aborted baby to test the taste of different ingredients or products. Now, the headline of this whole thing relates to an impending low-calorie soda from Pepsi. They do plan on announcing and rolling out a 60% fewer sugar calorie soda within 6 months. A stockbroker that follows Pepsi is saying they're not expecting a rollout related to the Cenomex testing until the year 2023. I don't quite understand it. It's a whole brave new world, as it were. Cenomex, this biotech company, seven of the company's 77 patents refer to the use of HEK293. Now, to the average layman, that means nothing, but HEK is an acronym, and it stands for human embryonic kidney, referring to human embryonic kidney cells. And so they're using this line of human embryonic kidney cells to somehow, in this brave new world, determine the taste of a future soda or a product of some kind, supposedly so that they don't have to have volunteers or even paid personnel to endlessly taste the next iteration of the soda with fewer and fewer calories or more sodium or more of this or less of that. It was all buried in kind of footnoted versions of the company's website. The people at the Children of God for Life, headed up by Debbie Vintage, said that there's a major ooh factor here. It strikes a real strong reaction in people. She said they've been campaigning against the use of embryonic cells for years. They've unearthed this information about Cenomex. By the way, that's spelled S-E-N-O-M-Y-X, and Pepsi, as they've combed through the company's patents. What do you make of it?
Well, apparently they're doing this quite a bit. It's a shortcut. It's a pragmatic shortcut and could be, I think, an ethical shortcut in order to save money, et cetera. It says Cenomex can test millions of substances to see if they work as different types of taste enhancers without subjecting human volunteers to endless taste tests. So evidently it has a shortcut element to it. Also, the story indicates that Pepsi's not alone with this, and I've been tacitly aware of this. We've talked about how these HEK lines have been used to test the COVID shots, the mRNA shots as well. Some have said this to be less problematic than the actual use of the embryonic aborted fetus to create the shot, as in the case of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. So here we are, so many different companies, not just the vaccine companies, but others are using this fetal tissue to test their products. Apparently Kraft, Cadbury is right in the middle of that. Nestle does the same thing. And if you do some search on the internet, you're going to find that Tylenol has been tested by the HEK 293 cell line, and as well as Advil, aspirin, Aleve, Sudafed, and so et cetera, et cetera. Not the first time that we've been dealing with these ethical issues. You remember that for quite some time there was some pressure to use infant stem cells for Parkinson research. Remember, Michael J. Fox was hot to trot on the use of these aborted fetuses for that purpose. So all of this to say that, yeah, it's a brave new world. And I think as Christian ethicists, we're going to have some more discussions on these questions, especially as to whether this ties into food offered to idols. To me, the 1 Corinthians 10 passage is the passage that ties directly into these questions. It's interesting that this has been made public information as well. To me, that is an interesting point, especially on the website, that these companies would see fit to inform the public that they've used the HEK cell lines to test their products. This, to me, is interesting. They must have some conscience about it to make it public. I guess I would throw that out. As well, that CBS News would include the story seems to indicate to me there's a conscience about the use of aborted fetuses for this profit-making purpose. So these are the sorts of things we're going to have discussions about as Christians. And I don't know of a single pastor or Christian ethicist in the country that has taken up this issue to date.
I haven't ever even heard of Cenemex, much less this ability to somehow, through the human embryonic kidney cells, determine what a given product tastes like. I mean, it's so far beyond my comprehension. It's incredible. But it's also obviously ethically problematic.
As I see it, you know, we are entering into sort of advanced stages of this brave new world. And as Christians, boy, we have to be on our game more than ever. It's not as if they're testing Coca-Cola using fetal tissue, you know, in 1938. Okay, this is something that's just developing. And as Christians, we need to be addressing these things, friends. In just a moment, more on inflation. Is government causing inflation? Of course they are. But are they lying about it? All this pragmatism and deception and all of this seems to be corrupting the entire economy right now. And as Christians, again, let's be sure we're discerning these things. Be back with more in just a moment on The Generations Broadcast.
Have you ever felt completely overwhelmed by the normal tasks of daily life? Parenting, academics, work, homemaking, personal care, discipleship, church, family. How does one do it all and stay sane at the same time? Well, we've got good news for you. You don't need to spin your wheels trying to find tips and tricks to get you through the day. Instead, join us this October 11th through 16th for the Homeschool Fitting It All In Summit 2.0 to learn how to decide what really matters, define a workable plan, and then direct your path toward the eternal. We have a world-class lineup of over 25 speakers, including Dr. John MacArthur, Stephen Kendrick, Ken Ham, Kevin Swanson, the Benham Brothers, and so many more. So join us this October in discovering biblical principles to help cut past the clutter and create a personalized action plan built on a God-centered foundation. You can register for free today. Just go to homeschoolsummits.com/event. That's homeschoolsummits.com/event.
And we are back on The Generations Broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson, Adam McManus with me as well today. A discussion on inflation, and it seems that pragmatism, ethical corner cutting, and deception is what's increasingly marking our economic systems today more than ever. Not to say that economic systems haven't been plagued by sinful activity and intentions over 6,000 years of world history. It's just that it's being mass-produced on a major scale, on the institutional scale. And that's the point I want to make on this edition of the program. And Tuesday's Worldview in 5 minutes, we did an update on the economy, as we do every Tuesday. That's part of my job because I write for Tuesday's Worldview in 5 minutes, which, by the way, you can get every day at theworldview.com. Adam McManus is the host for that program. But we pointed out that the used car vehicle index increased month over month 5.3%, a whopping 27% over last September.
That's big.
That's incredible. In just 1 year, that's a 27% inflated price for your average used car in just a single year. Incredible.
Yeah, we bought our used car 2012 and 2017, and I'm glad I'm not in the market right now, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, I mean, you got the sense things are going up in price. Gas is going up in price. Median housing prices. I don't know if it's affected Texas as much as Colorado, but my kids can't buy a house these days. They just don't want to buy. They can't afford it. And they've got decent, work. They've got decent income. They just can't buy a house. That's all.
We drove to a campsite through Trail Life and American Heritage Girls Campout this past weekend, and it's 3 hours away. And I just did a double take. And when I saw the final price of how much the gas cost, normally Amy's the one bringing them hither and yon, and I'm holding down the fort working at home. I don't often pay the bill at the grocery store or pay the gas, but I was taken aback by what I saw. So, yeah, prices are definitely going up, and more of our money is heading out.
Well, the thing that bothers me is here we have, you know, housing prices inflated 12% per year over the last 2 years, gasoline prices up 7% over the last 2 years, the average used car price up 27% over a single year, and yet, for some reason, the wage growth is right around 4.6% per year, which is way under the inflation rate. And yet what they're saying is the inflation, the CPI, is down around 5.4%. That just doesn't make sense to me. So I did some calculations today. It's not just me doing these calculations. A lot of other folks have done these calculations too, and compared it to the official numbers that we're getting from the federal government and from the Federal Reserve. Federal Reserve uses the PCE, that's the personal consumption expenditure. And the government gives us the consumer price index, which is supposed to be the average charge or change of prices paid by consumers for goods in any given year. And I don't think these measurements are right. In fact, they've readjusted the way they do it from the 1980s and 1990s. And if you use the same standard they used in the 1980s and 1990s, you find radically different rates. So, you know, there's some of us smelling a rat when we look at the government official numbers when it comes to inflation.
Kevin, you've put together a look at the cost of houses, cars, and a college education, comparing 1975 with now, and the numbers don't add up when you look at what the federal government is telling us about the consumer price index.
Yeah, I went piece by piece looking at the big ticket items. I didn't bother with marshmallows and postage stamps, and that's of course what they're focusing on. For some reason, they love to focus on the marshmallows and the postage stamps, the stuff that's in the dust, but they don't look at the major cost items, and that's the real issue here. I think that's where they're not weighting the CPI according to the amount of money people spend on the high ticket items. And so, you know, here's some of the differences. The average new house in 1975 costed $48,000. That's the median price for a house in 1975, $48,000. Based on median income, you could pay off that house in 3.78 years, as if you saved every dime. Okay, so we're talking about the ratio here of the price of the house to the median income that you were picking up on a yearly basis. Okay, so for the average house in 1975, you'd pay that off in 3.78 years on your median income in 1975. Now,
and what was the median income then?
Believe it was $12,500. I don't have it in front of me, but I believe it's about $12,500. So you'd pay it off in 3.78 years. Make sense? It's a house, $48,000 you're paying for the house. You pay it off in 3.78 years if you saved every dime. Okay, now let's fast forward to 2021. Average house price, median house price right now on the market in the United States in 2021 is, guess what it is? Well, you don't have to guess. I put it right in front of you with the notes.
It's high.
It's $404,000.
It's a lot more than $404,000.
$404,000. Wow. Okay, based on today's median income, okay, which is roughly $67,000 for the median household income, Okay, based on the median household income today, it would take you 6 years to pay that house off if you saved every dime. All right, now, what does this mean? This means that inflation has fooled you. Now, the CPI and PCA measurements of inflation are telling us we're doing just as good on household median income or slightly better than inflation since 1975. Okay, so that's what the official numbers are telling us. They're telling us we're keeping up. The average person's income's keeping up with expenses and actually just slightly better than expenses, according to the official CPI PCA measurements of inflation. Well, I'm looking at this. We're not keeping up. Not at all. It takes way more years to pay off the average house in 2021 as it did in 1975. This means that inflation has fooled us. We thought we were making more money. We thought our income was staying up with our expenses. You know how you get the cost of living increased each year. Well, maybe you don't. Most of us don't these days. But you're supposed to get something of a cost of a living increase on an annual basis. All right. And typically supposed to be like, you know, 1.5% to 2.5% to 3%. That was the COL that we'd receive in the corporate world years ago. And apparently they're still supposed to receive something of a COL, cost of living increase, on an annual basis. Well, it turns out the cost of living increases are not keeping up with the expenses by a long shot.
I want to connect the dots even more. In other words, before, in 1975, it took almost 4 years to pay off the house if you saved every dime. In 2021, it'll take 6 years to pay off the house if you've saved every dime. That makes you 75% poorer today than you were in 1975, despite the fact that it appears as though you're doing well.
Yeah, exactly. We're way poorer than we were on the basis of housing costs. Now, let's move on to automobiles. Transportation is the number two issue when it comes to expenses for the average household in America. Okay, so let's take a look at the average new car. In 1975, cost you $3,800. Okay. That's 1975. Take you 0.3 of your median income in any given year to pay it off, which would be about 4 months. Okay, so you'd have to save every dime for 4 months. You could pay off a car. You could pay off the median price car in 1975. Okay, fast forward to 2021. Average new car price in 2021, $41,000. Take you 0.6 of your median income in a year to pay it off. That's double. That's exactly double of what it would take you to work hard, you know, sweat, blood, and tears to pay off that car in 1975. So comparing the amount of blood, sweat, and tears to pay off a car in 2021 to the amount of blood, sweat, and tears to pay off that car in 1975, twice as much this year as what it would have cost you in 1975. Now, let's move on to the average public college education. In 1975, a four-year degree would cost you, on average, $7,276. Now, that would take you just 0.57 of your median income in 1975 to pay it off. The average college education in 2021, four-year college education, a public college education, not 2021, would take you 1.12 of your median income in 2021 to pay it off. Okay, that's, again, roughly twice as much money per income than it would have cost you in 1975. Does that sound like the CPI and the PCE is keeping up with the cost of living as far as you're concerned?
No. I don't think so. I'm getting ripped off.
You're getting ripped off big time. Okay, here's the next major medical expense. We're looking at big ticket items for the average household budget in America, and that would be medical care. Okay. Medical care is a big, big, big price tag for the average American family who's slaving away just trying to make it work in 2021. Okay, it would have taken you only 0.047 of your median income to handle your annual medical expenses back in 1975, and that includes health insurance. Okay, it would have taken you 0.047 of your median income to handle your medical expenses per year in 1975, 0.047. Today, in 2021, takes you 0.204 of your median income to handle your medical expenses and health insurance each year for the average household in 2021. That is, you're spending, get this, four times as much money per income as you did in 1975 for your medical expenses.
Big difference.
You are four times worse off. Not 40%, 400% worse off in terms of your expenses per income as you were in 1975. Four times worse off. You're twice as worse off when it comes to education per annual income. You're twice as worse off when it comes to automobile expenses per income. You're 75% poorer when it comes to housing expenses per income. Guys, that's 70% of the family's expenses. Now, okay, I didn't touch on marshmallows. Okay. My marshmallow expense for the scouting event. You know, and the Hershey's bars. I didn't include the Hershey's bars and the marshmallows.
And the graham crackers.
I'm sure the CPI considered that because food prices have not increased as much as these other major ticket expenses for the average family in America. But here we are, friends. The Federal Reserve's PCE inflation measurement and the government CPI calculations tell us we're doing slightly better than we were in 1975. May I say it? May I say it, Adam? The government is lying to you.
Or better yet, it's a lie from the pit of hell.
Just plain and simple. The government's lying. It's just a big fat lie.
To what end?
The CPI is not keeping up with the cost of living. It's not happening.
Why are they lying? To give us this the veneer of everything's okay? Don't panic?
Well, because they're hiding inflation. They're hiding inflation. That's the real issue. Inflation is the big lie. And friends, again, this from my recent book that we're producing for Garden Variety Average Ordinary Everyday Americans who need to know what's happening in economics and how the whole economic world is being destroyed by those who are not subjecting themselves to God's principles. But inflation is the word economists use to describe the rise in prices due to a flood of money flowing into the economy. There have been localized temporary rises in prices here and there due to supply and demand issues. But what we're dealing with is governments spending into debt and government-controlled banks issue more and more money into the economy. And this little story that we've provided before is going to help explain the relationship between inflation, government handouts, and inflation. Let's say there were 1,000 people and 1,000 $1 bills in a small community, and you were the king. Each person was in possession of $1. You decide to print 2,000 more dollar bills, and this would make each dollar bill of the community worth 33 cents. Okay? Because we've got 3,000 dollar bills. At one time, you had 1,000 $1 bills, but you flooded 2,000 more $1 bills into the community. Now, everybody's dollar is worth 33 cents. Then of the 2,000 $1 bills you printed, you send out all 1,000 people a $1 bill, which is worth 33 cents, and you keep the other $1,000 you printed for yourself, for administrative costs, of course. That works out pretty good.
Yeah.
Now, everybody used to have $1 each in their savings account, but now each of the citizenry is in possession of two full dollars. But really, each person only has 66 cents in real value. And they're all very happy. What a wonderful king, they say. I got my stimmy check. And they offer their thanksgivings to the king for giving them $1, which is only worth 33 cents, and reducing their total savings to 66 cents in value. However, there was one more little problem for the community. A loaf of bread used to cost 10 cents, but now a loaf of bread is priced at 30 cents because of inflation. That means that everybody used to be able to afford 10 loaves of bread with their savings of $1, but now they could only afford 6 loaves of bread with their $2, and very few of the citizens could ever figure out what happened. So is that pretty clear as to what's going on here?
I love it. Very helpful. I mean, I think my 11-year-old son could get that.
I hope so. I'm writing this for him. That's what I'm doing right now. But this is the way the world runs. Modern nations are made up of sinners, you know, but of course that's the way it's been for millennia. People sin. People do the wrong thing. But the Western world used to respect God's law, especially when it came to honest money, but our colleges and schools, they don't respect the scriptures anymore. That's changed since the 1800s. Now the great institutions running our systems ignore God's laws, especially when it comes to economics. We live in a post-Christian age, which means that those who run our institutions are not Christians. In fact, they are very much opposed to Christ. Since the schools and the universities have turned against the scriptures, all of our educational, economic, political, and cultural systems are increasingly hostile to Christian principles. Yet the robbing and stealing going on is not like that of primitive nations where one man would steal another man's goat. The unbiblical, anti-Christian economies today are far more sophisticated and powerful in their cheating and robbing schemes. In fact, it may appear they're getting away with it. How could anybody stand against such powerful systems? In all probability, government-sponsored systems of theft will last longer than when common thieves or gangsters counterfeit unlimited amounts of money. And this for two reasons. One is that people trust governments. They trust government more than they would trust counterfeiters. Incredibly, quite a few people will think of government as a good and wonderful and righteous God who will never do wrong and take good care of everybody. And they'll turn a lot of power over to these governments. But of course, that's all a lie. This worldview results in a creation of an increasingly dangerous and evil state. Also, the government doesn't go crazy making all that money all at once. They're very careful technicians. They devalue the money slowly over many years, such that hardly anybody notices. In fact, this is what John Maynard Keynes said or wrote in one of his important books, he being the mastermind behind the fractional reserve banking and the inflationary policies that have been used since, he was writing his books in the 1930s. John Maynard Keynes said the best way to destroy the capitalist system is to debauch the currency. By a continuing process of inflation, governments can confiscate, secretly and unobserved, an important part of the wealth of their citizens. By this method, they not only confiscate, but they confiscate arbitrarily. And while the process impoverishes many, it actually enriches some in the process. Okay, so this is the hidden secret way in which governments destroy economies. And this, my friends, is what has been happening since roughly 1913. The U.S. Federal Reserve can do it in different ways. They can issue money by buying federal government debt, that is bonds. The Federal Reserve Board also is given the power to control every bank in the country by setting the reserve rate. And the U.S. Federal Reserve also has huge control over the interest rates at which people can borrow money in the country.
But Joe Biden certainly has been accelerating that with all these massive handouts. I mean, Donald Trump did some of that under COVID, but now it seems to be at supersonic speed.
It's happening on steroids. And has, you know, we're talking, what, $6 to $7 trillion let loose upon the economy by just arbitrary debt and reintroducing this money through quantitative easing by way of the Federal Reserve. This kind of thing is nothing that we have ever witnessed. We've never witnessed anything this intense. And of course, all of that is going to create the inflation that we are seeing now. Now, what causes the inflation? That's government. Government causes the inflation. Who profits from it? Big debtors, government, big corporate guys, people who get in with the debt first and then get out first. The people who lose are the savers, the widows, people who get 0.1% interest on their money in the savings account while the banks are lending at 3% and inflation is running at 15%. All right. These are the people that are losing their shirt. If you have your money in the bank, you're losing 5 to 15% per year, and you have been for quite some time. Your bank account is going to be worth about half of what it was 10 years ago if you keep your money in the bank for 10 years. Just the way it works, my friends.
What do you counsel people to do with their money?
Well, I recommend that they put it into their own business, put it into silver and gold, invest it in a home, hopefully at some point paid off. But to leave it in cash, or at this point to invest it in the stock market, would be a disaster. It would be just one more way to devalue your money big time. Well, in the end, though, here's the deal. You know, the system is not going to continue. Everybody loses. Big debtors will lose in the end. The American economy will not sustain. Friends, you cannot just sustain this with a dishonest way of proceeding in terms of your economy. 100 years of lying and corruption and abortion and big government tyranny. You know, at some point, this thing's going to collapse. It did for the Roman Empire, and it will for us too. Do remember, the Roman Empire did all that they could to devalue the denarius coin that was, what, 94% silver in AD 33? By the time you get to roughly 250 AD, it was down to almost nothing in terms of its silver content. So the Roman Empire understood what was involved in destroying an economy and introducing dishonest systems at the highest level and then corrupting the entire economy in that by that means. And we are seeing the same thing occurring in our country as well. I think the bottom line here, Adam, is to teach our children honest economics. That's why I'm writing this book, How the World Runs, and you're part in it. I think someday the world will look to men of principle to lead the world out of the morass of complete economic bankruptcy. I think there's a point at which people are going to be done with this deception that has produced the corruption that has brought about a destruction of an economy. And what we need to do as Christian families is to be sure our children understand what is good biblical economics. That, my friends, is the message for the day, and we need to incorporate it into our children's education. And that's why we're bringing this into our Generations Christian Curriculum Project, the Discipleship Curriculum Project. And friends, again, our materials, our biblical worldview-based materials for first grade through 12th grade, available at generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson and Adam McManus, and we would like to invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.